The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller. Find your next obsession. Or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
You're listening to Voss and Bonnie's My Wife Hates Me on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
She really hates him, it's really true. Why did she marry this jackass Jew? Some people say that opposites attract, but this seems more like a suicide pact. He's totally sober, she's not that drunk. He's really old and she's got some smunk. He's totally holy as an asinine bomb, and she's just a little less dumb. She really hates him, it's really true. But somewhere deep down, she loves him too.
Testing, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Testing. How about
testing?
Me? Testing. Go ahead, talk up.
Testing.
All right, let's go. Let's get through this thing.
Get through it. That's not how you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to be like, guys, fans, listeners, we appreciate so much your support over the years. And we're coming up on the end of another year. And we just wanted to say happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, which I believe is on the 22nd. And I don't know how to even do it. I don't even know how to be nice, but I think this is like a good, that's how normal people do podcasts. They go, thanks to the fans. We couldn't do it without you. We really appreciate it.
Yes, we could. We could still do this without them. We could sit in our...
I mean, yes. And people do their podcasts without the fans. But I'm just saying, you know, you show gratitude, especially at this time of year.
You know? I'm grateful.
You don't go, let's just get through this. These fucking morons want to hear some shit. Let's
just do
it. I
didn't say that about them. It's because I'm sick. I don't feel good.
Okay. All right.
I love.
You love the podcast. You love doing it.
Anthony Rogers, big fan of ours.
We always say his name because it's the only one you can remember.
I
hate, you know what? I'm going to tell you now.
What?
I said to myself, take this to the grave. I'm Anthony Rogers. That's my second Twitter account. Sorry.
I think he was at a show.
Oh, really? I watched
Jenny's a big fan of our podcast.
Yeah, but she doesn't really listen to it, does she?
I think she does.
I think she just like every once in a while will dip in. So if you got a lot of rings on for a guy just sick at home.
What?
You're wearing a lot of rings for a guy who's sick at home.
Why? When you get sick, you take your rings off at home?
Well, people do take their rings off.
For what?
Because they don't want to sleep with all that jewelry on.
I'm asleep. I don't even know I'm wearing it. Although I have been sleeping pretty
good. Colin, do you wear your rings while you're sleeping? Let's hear from those jewelry sleepers.
Let's start off. Well, first, real quick, you can get my new CD, When I Saw Hamilton, at iTunes.
And I normally never say this, but it's terrific. It's your best work yet.
No.
Yeah.
I think 5 is.
Oh, good sale.
No, it's good. People like it. I don't know. You're just so critical of everything you do.
You're not. You love everything you do.
Yeah, but some I'm critical about. Like, I didn't put my second CD, Live from Philly, up anywhere.
Oh,
I should go find and listen to it, see if it's good enough to put up anywhere.
I have a CD coming out at some point. I don't know when, but...
They want it out before New Year's.
Well, I sent the artwork to the get it done, and... You know, we'll see what happens. It's called 3.5 stars.
I like that.
So dumb. I didn't know what to call it.
Well, anyhow, so yeah, get Bonnie's CD when it comes out, get mine. It's sad that, like, you know, in the last couple of weeks, a couple of comics have passed away. It's so sad. And I really like both of them, Chris Cotton and Angelo Lozada.
Yeah.
I mean, I've known Angelo for
both young guys too, right?
Forever. Well, yeah. And Chris has a baby on the way. His
oh,
wife.
No. Oh, you no. Know. How did he die? Or don't they know. Don't tell you that part?
It doesn't really matter.
I mean, sometimes it does.
I think an asthma attack.
Oh, shit.
I don't know.
I don't know why you want to know. When someone dies, you do. You want to know how they died. Because I guess you're like, am I doing, you know.
Something wrong.
They were sweeping their house. You go, oh, I guess I'm never going to sweep again.
Well, so, you know,
you're
somebody
fine.
That died that.
I'm just saying, like, you would think, like, you hope you find out. It's like.
God, I did so many gigs with Angelo and way back.
Well, Angelo had cancer, stage 4.
Stomach?
Yes.
That's weird. That's a Canadian. It's not big in this country. It's big in Canada.
Why do you say that?
Because in Canada, they eat more smoked food and smoked food.
Where did you read this?
You can go online right now. Is stomach cancer big in Canada because of smoked food? You didn't know that?
That's, I got to Google that shit. Google. That sounds completely wrong.
No.
Is my father had stomach cancer and he ate.
And he's from Canada.
Yes. Is stomach cancer more common?
In Canada.
Oh, is it in Canada? Is that what I was going to say there at the end? Stomach cancer is most common in Japan, China, South America, and Eastern Europe. It is not as common in North America. In Canada, the number of new cases of stomach cancer diagnosed each year has been going down since the 1980s. Risk factors are generally listed in order from most to least important. Let's see the risk factors. Risk factors. I don't know, some kind of like infection. Known risk factors, some kind of infection, smoking, family history of stomach cancer, inherited genetic conditions, certain stomach conditions, previous stomach surgery, Epstein-Barr virus, exposure to ionizing radiation, working in rubber industry, type A blood, smoked, cured, and processed meats. That's the last one.
I always go from the bottom to the top.
And then it says possible risk factors.
I don't want to hear.
They don't know.
Just give
salty foods, alcohol, obesity, gastro, something, reflux disease, occupational exposure to lead, asbestos, cystic fibrosis.
Well, I don't pretty much have any of those.
I mean, the reason we were looking it up was because is it more common in Canada? And it doesn't say that it is.
It is. Did you hear it said smoked food? Is that one of the things?
Yeah, but I don't even know. Like now I'd have to Google, is smoked foods more popular in Canada than in the U.S.?
Yes, look it up because I know.
I mean, where did you hear this?
Where?
Yeah.
I think you told me.
No, never did. No, I wouldn't say something like that. It's stupid.
You're stupid. Anyhow, why Bonnie's looking up, it's sad because I like those. I mean, it doesn't matter whether I liked them or not. It's sad that they passed away, but they were both fun guys. I didn't see Angelo as much recently because he was working on the Trevor Noah show and going on tour with Trevor Noah. And Chris would stop in at the Comedy Cellar. He was just a fun guy. And it's sad. So my condolences
the
go out to
no.
their families, their friends, and anybody that knew him, sad to hear the news.
He was always one of those guys that you were happy to see when he would show up.
Yeah.
I'm so sad. God, it's got to be just a very, very difficult situation. You know, at the end, he was in the hospital and people were going to see him. And, you know, everyone kind of knew the situation. It's just...
I didn't even know he was in the hospital. I thought he was sick. I didn't know I would have went to visit him. I didn't know he was in the hospital. Aww. I thought he was.
And then you always think you have more time. Like, oh, after the holidays, I'll go visit him because it's like.
Well, I wish I would have known because I would have definitely went up there. Mm. No one ever said, yeah, he's in the hospital. I just thought he had it. He was sick because I kept seeing posts of him. So I thought he was still out there working or doing stuff. Mm-hmm.
Well, he was for a long time.
Oh, well,
and then it took a pretty tragic turn. I mean, very.
All right, let's get out of this. It's sad, like I said, and
well, we can go back to there's smoked meats are not any more popular in Canada.
On that website, on that Google search.
Okay.
Go to smokemeats.com, see where most of their sales are.
Oh my God, I'm going to go and deep dive into smoked meats.
I got to go to the doctor's.
Why? You just have a cold. I don't understand why you have to go.
When you have a cold, it's not hard to breathe. You don't get out of breath easy.
Yeah, you're sick. You're sick.
That's what doctors are for. That's what health insurance
okay,
is.
I mean, go do it. But I've never known anyone to be like not laid out completely. And then have like a sniffle. Like you have anything that's on the bottle for cold medication.
Then how come it's not working when I take DayQuil?
Well, because you're sick, you have to go through the process. You have to go through the days of.
I took a flu shot.
Yeah, well, flu shots are
one.
It's a guess. 100. They just guess what strain is going to be popular.
It's only for one strain.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that's so funny. You act like you know.
Well, I don't know if it's only for one strain, but I know that it's a guess, and a lot of times it's not the right strain. That's why you get a flu shot, you still get the flu.
I know. Although
I see people are like, don't get the flu shot. And then, you know, on Twitter or something, like doctors are like weighing in, like, definitely get the flu shot. Don't be stupid. It's like, I don't know.
That's like when people go, don't use a comic in comics. When you're no, definitely use a comic.
Can I tell you, speaking of comics, the biggest bomb I've ever had.
It's not your fault.
You know what? When now, like before, you'd always get this question in interviews, be like, what's the worst thing that ever happened to you in stand-up? Or what's the biggest bomb you ever had? And I would always be like, I don't know. Sometimes I would use that one where I was at that casino. Oh, Rich. And then the woman, I was bombing, and the woman goes, you have family? And I go, yeah. And she goes, talk about your family. Like she was helping me. I got to help heckle. I was heckle-splained. Anyway, that was not nearly even remotely as terrible as the gig I just did. It was a corporate gig. I won't say for who, but these people were Russian.
It was a private
gig in a restaurant. But I thought there was still going to be a stage. Like I assumed it was a place that would have.
What restaurants have stages?
Well, I thought there would be like, I've done things before where there is like.
Oh yeah, I guess some do.
You know, like a place where there's like maybe a band sometimes or whatever. And it was just nothing. I was literally standing in the middle of the dining room floor. Big round tables. So everybody's sitting at these big round tables. So they're not facing the stage. They're just sitting around the tables. And I asked when I took the gig for them not to be served food, you know, until after I got off. And then the day of the gig, they were like, you're going to go on now at 6:00. I go, isn't that when the food, you know, or I go, but there's still no food being served. And they're like, no, you're going to go on during main course. I was like, okay, that's going to be bad. And then when I got there, I asked again if I could not go on when the food was being served. And the guy was like, there's nothing I can do about it. So there's about 50 to 75 people there and very, very nicely dressed.
What do you think they did after they ate?
I know. It's like, why didn't I just go on after? It makes no sense. So they all come and sit down at the table. It happens this fast. The DJ, you know, says, hey, thanks for coming or whatever. And he gives a mic to the whatever, some guy's going to give a speech. I guess he's the CEO of the company. And he gives the speech half in Russian, half in English. So that's what we're dealing with. Like everyone there is bilingual almost everyone has a Russian accent, I start thinking this is really not going to go well. Like then when they introduced me to go up, the food came out at exactly the same time. Like I couldn't even get to the right spot in the middle of the restaurant, you know, because the waiters were bringing the food out and it was like family style, you know? So they really have to be interested in the food because they're, well, what's that? And scooping food out and passing plates around and these huge round tables where, you know, six of them have their backs to you. And, when I got to the mic didn't work and they had to switch out the mic. There was no stool for me to put my glass down on. It was like, okay. So then I'm trying to be funny. I still think I can charm them and they're just not having it. They're not listening at all. So then I just think I'll just do it without their attention. I don't care. I'll just get through it. So then I'm just doing jokes, but then they start being like the somebody heckled me. I can't remember what they said, but I said, I was being nice. I said, it's okay. I've already been paid. And the head of the company, the guy who gave the speech, he goes, I'll have it canceled. And everyone laughed really hard. And I was like, okay, this does not seem good. You know what I mean? Like, don't joke about fucking canceling my check. So then I continue. And it was like that when he yelled out that it gave everyone like sort of permission to yell out at me. Like, it was just like I'd bring up a premise and they'd be like, no, or they'd be on their phones. They'd be eating. I mean, it was like, honestly, the noise level was crazy. Sometimes I just stood there for a few minutes without saying anything. And no one even like turned to look at me or cared or it's just like.
I would have videotaped it. So this is what I'm dealing with, folks. This is the company. This is how rude they are.
It was so rude. It was just like, I don't know why. I said at one point, I go, why? I don't understand why you guys wanted a comedian. And some people were like, we didn't. You know, and they were mean. And then these guys were like being so kind of abusive to me right off to the side. And I wasn't mean to them because I wanted to get paid. I already sort of had been threatened. So I just said to the one guy, I go, nice bangs. And it got like a really big laugh because he had such a weird hairdo and he got mad. And then he really started coming at me. And it was just because I said like nice bangs. And then anyway, so at around 20 minutes, first of all, I was only supposed to do 20 minutes. And then when I got there, they said 30. And so then I said, okay, fine, I'll do 25. And about 20 minutes in, it was honestly like, at one point I said, it feels like bullying now. It feels like you guys are bullying the one outsider. So I go, is there anyone here that wants me to keep going? And people yelled out, no. And so I just said, okay, thank you. Have a Merry Christmas. Bye. Again, went to my car, Googled Chase, went to the closest Chase bank I could find and put my check in. And then you told me it doesn't matter. They could still cancel it.
I don't know how long it takes. If it clears, they can't cancel it. Once it clears, you know, if it was on his, if he was on a Chase bank, then it would have cleared right away.
I mean, it was a fair amount of money, a fair bit of money.
Well, you got a videotape. You got to.
I know. I should have because it was like, and it's like. You know, at the time, I mean, it's just like, it's so weird when people are, it showed that company is obviously not like, they're probably abusive within the company. You know what I mean? Like that boss is probably mean to people, which is why then they're being mean to someone else. Like, it was just weird. And then
it's just a branch of the company because it's a big company.
It's a huge company, but these were the CEOs, I think.
No way.
Uh-huh.
No, that was probably a division of that company, like Northern New Jersey or.
Oh, maybe.
You know.
But I think they seemed very wealthy. But then.
It could have been East
when
Coast
I got North. Off the DJ, the guy who hired me, because I got hired through the restaurant sort of some weird way. And it was supposed to be really clean or whatever. But I had said penis. So. I came off after literally the worst set of my life. And he goes like this to me. He goes, and I came off early. And he must have seen me say, does anyone want no? Like just the most horrible, you know, humiliating exit ever. And he goes like this to me. First thing he says to me when I walked over to get my jacket, he goes, you said penis. I go, is that what you're taking away from this? He goes, well, it was supposed to be clean. I was like, I go, when they're abusive, anything goes. All bets are off. So
that's hilarious.
He goes, I hope they don't cancel your check. The DJ said that to me. I was like, and then the guy with the bangs came up to me and was like, he goes, that was a very hard situation for anyone to be. I go, really? How long have you been doing stand up? He goes, no, never. Zero time. I go, yeah. Okay. Thank you. Goodbye. I don't know why I said that. I was just like, but that's the thing. They're mean. And then they come over to like, try to like be friends with you after. You're like, what are you doing?
That's how they are. That's why I hate doing those private things.
Oh my God. I knew it was going to be bad.
Last year like that with a circle table. Circle tables are the kiss of death.
Oh,
they sit with their back to you. And
like, they would just like, honestly, I remember like the guy like lifted up his head from the phone and would yell stuff at me.
Who, the main guy?
No, like, I mean, other people. The main guy too was just being very like, like he was sitting in a, like his, like he, that's where I should have been standing, where he was sitting. Like he got the seat where everyone had to look at him. So they were getting all their cues from that guy. So why would you invite someone to come do a show and then just be like completely abusive? It's weird. But they would like, he'd be on his phone like this, one of the guys. And then he'd be like, and then he just lift up, he'd go, what, is she getting married or something? Like, it have nothing to do with the joke. You'd be like, what are you talking about? He'd just hear one word and then, you know, I go, well, you have to listen to the whole joke. I mean,
yeah,
I know I was being so weirdly like, but I was forgetting punchline. Like, it's so hard when you're in like that kind of situation where it's like that. It's like, I'm like, these jokes have done thousands of times that I suddenly can't remember the tag or the punchline, because the jokes would just literally go complete. One woman yelled out. She goes, is it 30 minutes already? Like, I go, I'm thinking the same thing. Believe me.
That's horrible. It's horrible. I've done a million of those. Horrible. Not that bad. Yeah, no, some that bad, but.
I mean, normally if it was just like, you know, some weird one-nighter that you booked, you'd fucking go fuck yourselves. You'd tear them up, which I think if I had done that, they would have loved it. They would have liked it, but I didn't want to take a risk and not get, you know, have them have a reason to take my check, you know?
Well, live and learn.
Learn.
When you walk into those things, you got to get cash up front.
I know. I was like, why didn't I get half my money already?
No, cash before you go on stage.
Well, he gave me the, I asked for the check before I went on stage.
Well, God damn.
Why what?
I can't, I'm just out of breath. I'm having a tough time breathing.
Oh, well, maybe you should go to the doctor.
Why?
I mean, you're just sitting there and out of breath. I thought it meant like when you're going up and down stairs or something.
Yeah, maybe I'll make a doctor's appointment. I got to get my hair cut too. I don't want to go to the doctor's with bad hair.
Oh my goodness.
Well, we're only at 21 minutes. What else can we talk about?
What, Rich, we just moved into a new house. You're completely insane. We went back to the old house. We saw how many golf balls? Thousands and thousands of golf balls that you've collected over the years.
Thousands.
Rich, there's so many golf. There's big, huge, like bathtub sized containers filled with golf balls.
There's one big container, one garbage can.
Rich, it doesn't matter. Like, this is the thing. Like, this is your weird addiction. At what point were you grabbing golf balls off the course and putting them in your pocket and bringing them home and going, this seems normal to have this many golf balls that I'll never use? Like, were you like, at some point I'm going to open a golf ball museum and this is going to be all worth it?
No, I stopped. Sometimes I didn't take them. A lot of times I go, I don't.
But what point were you like if you got like even a bowl full, you'd be like, you know what? What am I doing? Let me stop this nonsense. But you waited until you had, and what's left there is only what's left there. In the upstairs, we threw some out. I think we did. I don't know. Maybe you probably put them in the storage. You didn't throw them out?
What? Which one's upstairs?
There was like a huge, like 10-gallon pail full upstairs.
No, not a 10-gallon. That was downstairs too. The boat downstairs. There was the little pink
There was
basket.
A lot. There was other, any closet that was opened, there was a container filled with golf balls.
You can never have enough.
You can have enough. That's the thing. Like at some point you got to say to yourself, I have enough hats. Like even I watch you buy a shirt. You buy a shirt that you like. And then I think what happens is it gives a little bit of like serotonin to your brain. Like, oh, that felt good buying that shirt. Or I got a compliment on this shirt or whatever it is that makes you feel good. And then you buy five more shirts because you think, well, if that gave me a little bit of a buzz, five more will give me even more. Then you buy five more. But you're just chasing the dragon every single time. So then you're just, is that okay? Yeah, yeah. You could laugh at it if you want because it's a heroin, but it's not so different, is it? You're just the hats thing. You go.
I haven't bought a hat in years.
Rich, your walk-in closet that you took half the bedroom downstairs to make a walk-in closet. I've never seen anyone so into putting up shelves and doing things for their closet and their clothing. And you took the actual closet also, I noticed.
Where?
I thought that was going to be available. It's like any closet space you just was like.
No, I took one little closet space downstairs and you have all the closets up here pretty much.
But I have one closet.
Yeah, this house doesn't have a lot of closets.
Okay, my point being is that there's you have a lot of shoes.
A lot.
You have a lot of hats. Okay, you go downstairs. It's like, oh, you want one flannel or do you want 100 flannels? You know, you've got these polo shirts that you were into for a while. Hundreds of those.
No, I don't. I used to wear polo a lot.
I know, but it's remarkable how many of, like, I have a shirt that's a lace shirt that I like. It looks nice. I didn't go buy 17 more lace shirts. It's like you have the one, you wear it. Sometimes you won't wear stuff. You go, I don't want to waste it. Waste it. That's what you don't buy stuff. Like, first of all, clothing goes out of style. So when you get it, you should wear it.
Not a polo shirt. You could wear that forever.
Do you?
I haven't worn polo in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. But you have a lot of polo shirts.
Not anymore.
Then you went into, when I first met you, you were only wearing suits because you were on Last Comic Standing. You wore suits all the time.
What are you talking about? At the show, you mean? I didn't wear them in clubs.
Then you got into True Religion jeans.
Yeah, they were in
style. And the backwards Kangol hat, right?
They were in style. No, the backwards Kangol was before that.
Okay. So then, but I remember even then it should have been a red flag. I said, you have to stop buying True Religion jeans because I think I gave you a compliment on a True Religion jean. And then it was literally like we were, you know, our coffee table was True Religion jeans. You know, we were sitting on True Religion jeans. We were like, our bed was just a pile of True Religion jeans. It was like one of those things where you had to like move a pile of True Religion jeans in order to get to the bathroom. You know, it was just, they were like everywhere. I said, stop buying True Religion jeans.
Exaggerated.
Oh, really? Do you think people really believe we were like eating off of True Religion jeans? No, I'm obviously exaggerating for a point.
Uh-huh.
You bought hundreds of True Religion jeans and then you wouldn't stop. I was like, you have to stop. They're out of style. Like you shouldn't even be wearing them anymore. They were like a fucking moment in time. You should have only ever had two pairs of True Religion jeans done. But that's how Rich Voss operates. Right? Because before that, it was Diesel. Do you remember that? When I first met you, that's right. You were always bragging about how you had Diesel jeans and you'd only wear Diesel jeans.
Yeah.
You had hundreds of pairs of Diesel jeans.
I didn't have hundreds. I had a couple. Yeah. I still have a couple.
You still have those True Religion jeans, by the way.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with them? Like, why do you still have them?
I'm not going to throw them out. They cost too much. I'll give them to somebody or do something.
Nobody wants your fucking True Religion jeans. It's insane. This is the
if
thing.
I brought those to Europe, I
this
could
is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a man who won't throw anything out because someday, maybe in the future, it might be necessary. Like, at what point?
Do you know what that saying? Throw the baby out with the bathwater. What does that mean?
that means that you're going to, in order to do something, you're going to also fuck up the good part of it. So you're throwing the baby out. You throwing the bathwater out is good, but you're, I don't know how to make that. You're doing something bad while you're doing something good.
Oh.
Okay. So you're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. You're
not throwing out my true religions either.
Okay, fine.
I'll give them. I'll put them into goodwill. I've done that.
Go ahead. That's absolutely fine. You know, the thing that I would suggest, honestly, is not buying hundreds of the same thing, because that's crazy.
Put them on Craigslist.
Rich, let's go back to the start. You know, everything that you get one of, you get 100 of. What about rings? You didn't have all those rings when I met you. Right? But then you were like, oh, I got one ring. Somebody complimented it. Let me put on 17 rings at a time. Oh, I only have 10 fingers, but I have 27 rings. Fantastic. Like when you slip on a pinky ring, you should be like, I need to get help.
Why?
Because only fucking crazy people have pinky rings. Okay, that's not a normal thing for a man to have.
That's who wears them, not ladies. If you wear them on your left hand, it's weird. But if you wear them on your right hand, it's cool. It's a couple of rings. I have 5 rings. Big deal.
I talk about it on stage and people go, oh. I go, he's got into rings. Sometimes I wear 5 at a time. People go, ooh, oh, like they're like shocked by it. It's crazy.
Then when I go up after you, they're looking at my rings.
They're like, is this the guy? But it is. You don't see it as like since we've moved during the whole moving process. I actually think I fell in love with you a little bit more because I saw how deeply troubled that you actually are. Like I used to think you were so selfish, but now I see it's possibly not selfishness, but it's just self-preservation. Like you've developed all these habits in order to survive and. You know, because you hate it when I bring up any kind of psychological trauma that you may have suffered as a child.
I didn't suffer.
Impacting us now, but.
What? I've done a great job here so far.
What do you think I'm saying?
Who do you think?
What do you think I'm saying right now? Do you think I'm saying you did a shitty job?
No, but do you think?
No, I didn't say
that.
Your
bicycles is because of some psychological problem? No.
No,
trying to make space.
Nope. I don't even know how we got to this part because this isn't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the true religion genes,
the golf balls.
I'm saying the move made me, when we had to unpack the storage facilities downstairs, their old place, it boggled my mind. My brain just kept going, he's got a sickness. He's sick. He's sick. He's sick. And now, even for Christmas, I'm like, anything I buy you that you actually might want feels like enabling. Like I was going to give you this gift certificate to this great hat place in New York. And then I just said, I can't, like, why would I do that?
I don't need another hat, but.
No, you don't. And then the other thing is it's hard to buy for you because the minute that you want something, you go ahead and buy it. There's no like, you know what I've been wanting for a long time? It's like an immediate. So you can never get ahead of your wants. It's like if I have to come up with an entirely new want for you in order to get it for you for Christmas.
Oh, we got
to
start using that air fryer. Everybody says how great they are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can cook potatoes in it, anything. Have you ever heard that?
I have.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's have potatoes.
I feel like this is off topic, but.
Well, that was a gift you bought me that I like.
When you were taking all this stuff, which is, we're still not done, by the way. We're still not done taking stuff out of that basement.
I know. We have boxes too here.
Last time we went back, which I thought it was done, you were like, there's only a few things left. And we went back. I almost started crying. I really did. Cause I was just like, you've got so many problems. Like you just can't throw things out. Like, in order to throw things out, I had to be like, get rid of it. Like,
that's not true. There's two pictures I'll dump any day.
Oh, two pictures out of everything that. And then you became obsessed with putting the pictures up. It was like the number one thing for you to do.
What? No, it wasn't the number one, but it was up there. Who's that?
It's her school.
Answer it.
Well, I don't want to answer it on the podcast.
Go ahead. I'll talk. Bonnie's answering the phone. It's her. It's going to be something canceled, you know, because they heard there's snow. You know, or whatever. They hear something. The school system out here.
Oh, no, it might be running late.
What? The bus. Why? Has she ever taken the bus home yet?
Huh?
Getting this kid to learn a bus is unbelievable. Has she taken it home yet? The bus?
Yes.
Home?
She took it home yesterday.
Oh, because her friends told her where it's at. Yeah. Good. All right, we're at 33 minutes.
No. You're too tired to really fight back. So this is a good time for us to go over.
Over what?
Your hoarding problem.
What?
And what you think about it. You don't dig into it ever. You don't lay in bed at night and go, why do I do that?
Oh, if I like something, I get it. I like it. When I was a kid, I was poor. I couldn't get things. And now if I want something, I get it. I work hard, so... You know, you're supposed to enjoy life. I'm responsible. I pay bills.
What about the golf balls? What's that? Picking up golf balls and bringing them home.
I just do them in my golf bag. When you see them there, you pick them up if they're, you know, lost balls and you throw them back. Sometimes you hit some while you're waiting for your next shot. You might hit some in another direction or something. Or they add up in your bag. You go, oh, I better get these out of here. They're getting too heavy in my bag. And then I threw them in the house. That's all. And it built up.
And you never thought like, wow, I've got so many golf balls.
That's
like,
why
this
I stopped.
Is crazy.
That's why I stopped doing it.
Really? After like 10 gallon pails of golf balls, you were like, you know what?
I was going to try to find a place to donate them.
Oh, the homeless golfer shelter? Sounds good.
No, like a kid's like camp or something or... golf camp or some, you know, like.
I'm just like, honestly, like if I saw something, like if I was collecting something that was stupid, I'd be like, oh, why am I doing this? I would like try to think about it and try to figure it out. Like, what is the issue here? And you don't want to.
No, I just. If you were walking around and saw free dollar bills laying around the golf course, you'd pick them up, right? Would you or not?
Yes, I would.
Okay. Well, golf balls cost money.
It's the dishwasher. Yes, they do.
So.
But that's nuts. That's okay. Then go using that. Then you should. Why aren't you picking up plastic bottles and recycling and taking them in?
Because they're only a nickel.
And how much did you get for those golf balls? I'm curious.
I'm not selling them. I would donate them because they would cost whoever I donate them to. What the fuck? Oh.
Oh, you better turn that down. It's going to kill their ears.
That's rain of school.
Oh, it's just the same thing.
I know, but it came through my computer.
So right. Mm-hmm.
Why did that happen?
It always does.
Goes through the computer?
Mm-hmm.
I never set it up like that. I declined it. Well, anyhow, listen, we'll work on my golf ball habit. I haven't.
It's not that. It's not to work on your golf ball habit. It's to be like, why? Like when you moved, you had to, and you had such anxiety and stuff that it had to be pressing in your brain. Like, what did I do? Why did I keep all these things? Why do I have such a hard time throwing stuff out or getting rid of things? That never like... crossed your brain like, huh, I wonder if there's something in my past that, you know, you do possibly have abandonment issues.
Bing.
I guess I'm right. You know, your father left pretty abruptly and you didn't see him very much in your life.
Is that why I collect golf balls and stuff?
Well, it goes hand in hand. If you look it up, they're They're linked.
When did you look it up? Did you look it up?
Oh, you want me to look it up right now?
No, I'm tired. I don't feel good. We could, the next podcast, you look it up and then you come in with the answers, the next one. You get it?
Mm-mm.
You look pretty. You look like a therapist.
I know. I feel like a therapist.
You do. You got your glasses.
I could be a good therapist. All women, I think all women could be good therapists. All women are good at sort of looking beneath the surface, whereas I don't think guys are as good at it.
First of all, are you kidding? When we first met, I used to call me with breakdowns and I used to talk you off the ledge and help you with all kinds of stuff, therapy stuff, especially during Last Comic Standing. When you call me nuts about it every fucking night. Okay. So, or you call me about your parents, and I was always your therapist. But now you think you took over the therapy in this house.
I didn't know how many problems you actually had. Can you imagine if you had to, like, before you had a therapist, like, they had to tell you all their problems so you could see? You're like, oh, God. You go to your therapist's house, he's a hoarder. You're like, ugh. Maybe I shouldn't.
Well, anything you want to plug? Anything coming up? Your CD?
Well, no. Oh, I have a CD coming up, but I don't know when. Like, I don't know what the time frame is.
Why don't you call that person and ask?
I mean, I could email them.
My new CD is out. When I Saw Hamilton at iTunes, wherever they sell CDs, I'm pretty sure it's there. And, Creature Kids Tour starts up 2020. We got Detroit. We got the Gramercy in New York, Gramercy Theater. We have, what else? You know, Mohegan Sun, I'm pretty sure. We got Turning Stone Casino, Borgata. That's creaturekids.com. And get our tour dates and buy the CD. Bonnie, I guess we'll do one more before the new year next week, and then it'll be our last one for 2019. We'll do a review. A review.
A review and a reflection.
Yeah.
I hope you feel better.
I hope you do too.
I feel
you look
great.
Pretty. How about the movie last night?
Not bad.
Uncut Gems.
It's a good movie. It's just that it felt like I'd seen a lot of it before.
I loved The Irishman. I loved it.
Oh, I never made it through.
I think Pesci, that was his best performance to me. Mm. Loved it.
Okay.
I liked Uncut Gems. Loved The Irishman. And I guess tonight, Sunday, we'll watch the one Quentin's movie. Quentin Tarantino.
Tonight?
No, Sunday.
Sunday. Okay.
Peace out. Talk to you later, folks. Thank you for listening.
And, you know, I'm 100% against censorship, but this is hate speech or whatever against Shane Gillis. Then they started digging up stuff on Judy Gold, who they is. I don't know. It's, I guess, Shane Gillis fans. And it was from our radio show. And we listened to it the other day. It was so fucking funny. I mean,
I
don't want to say what it is because I don't want her to get in any more trouble, but
it ends careers what she was doing.
Yes. And then
it was funny as hell.
And then, somebody else, Titus, you remember Titus, the
Chris
comedian,
Titus?
Chris Titus,
yeah.
He came to her defense because people were saying, like, you know, mad at her for you know, going against Shane Gillis, I guess. And he came to her defense, and then they brought up all kinds of shit from him that he tweeted very seemingly racist shit about Chinese people. And it's kind of like good in a way. It's like good to show we all have this. Nobody's above reproach. Not one fucking person that's been in front of a microphone in the last
15 years
is even the last 5 years. You know, we've all said shit. You could find something in from every, even the most careful person has said some shit or laughed at some shit.
Well, I just wrote to this guy. He wants me to do his documentary. There's no reason to say his name yet. And I gave him my number yesterday. You know, he was going through Twitter to get talk to me. And I gave my number yesterday. Then he wrote to me today. And I wrote, "How did you get my number?" Right. Yeah. He goes, you gave it to me in a senior moment. Then I wrote, who's this? Right. He writes, haha, you're going to be very hurtful during the trashing. And I'm excited during his documentary. Mm-hmm. And I wrote, I'm a different person now. Ever since Shane, I've changed my ways. Cunt face. So being funny, if someone just dragged that out, oh, he's calling somebody cunt face.
I don't think that matters.
It doesn't?
I think you say cunt face to people. It's
I think to cunt face people.
If you said it to a woman, it might be different. But if you said it to a man, I think it's fine.
Oh, okay. But I'm just saying.
Yes.
They'll find a way.
Look, to
destroy.
Yes.
If they want to destroy you.
My God. All you have to do is look at my fucking Comedy Central special. There's all kinds of shit in there that's horrifying. Yeah. My HBO special, there's all kinds of shit in there that's horrifying. It's like, but the thing is, it's like, you know, because people don't realize, the people that are like on this campaign to fucking get people fired or make people pay for their past indiscretions. It's like, I get it on the one hand. It's like, yeah, you're sick and tired of people being racist for comedy's sake. Like, I get that. I remember being in clubs when people were just making gay jokes all the time. It was like constant. That was what comedy was for like 5 years, just wall-to-wall gay jokes. It's like, okay, once we stopped kind of doing that, it was like, it's refreshing. It's like, let's move on to something else. However, it's also really crazy to put the brakes on what people say in such a way that makes it seem like their lives can be ruined for it, because you don't know what's coming. Like, you don't know. Like, I do think like plastic is going to be illegal soon. And at some point we're going to look back at people, pictures of them with a plastic water bottle, and people are going to be like, look at these fucking pieces of shit ruining our planet. You don't know.
Look at Trudeau. He's done.
Well, the thing is that the blackface, how could you not know?
But
the brown face, I get you're doing a costume. I don't think at some point, like, people were still just like, it was fine to do Halloween costumes. But blackface is a whole different thing. That's like got a history. And
I heard.
But don't people know? Like, how could people not know?
I heard a newscaster going after him. And it is kind of stupid what she said. She goes, as early as 2001, as early as 18 years ago. I mean, that's not really early.
What do you mean?
She was going, and he did this as early as 2001. Oh,
18 years ago. Well, he was 39. Or 29.
I don't think.
Sorry. When he did that. Thing. It's not like he was a kid.
I don't think by any stretch he's racist or any of that stuff. And I don't think when he was doing an Arab person, not a
right.
I don't think he was doing this going, oh, this is vicious or this is mean. He just wasn't aware. Some people 18 years ago,
the blackface, I don't see how you could not be aware.
In Canada,
I knew.
No, in Canada. Oh yeah. How about when you were in fourth grade?
That I dressed up in a Halloween costume as a Chinese person who worked in the rice paddies.
In fourth grade. Can you think fourth if they grade. Went in?
Yep. And I had the hat and the little, you know, the Nehru collar jacket and stuff. And I might have had pointy shoes.
You had
on.
Fake teeth?
Big
teeth?
I don't remember. I think I might've had fake teeth and the braids. Not one person was like, this is a little inappropriate. It was like a Halloween costume. And I think people thought like, oh, look, she researched. It was like educational almost. You know, when I told my mama I wanted to do it, she was like, great, go look in some encyclopedias and let's see what we need to do. Can you imagine
if they try to take you down for a costume in fourth grade? Look, at
I mean, I think Halloween costumes should be kind of like,
you should make them yourself anyhow.
I remember, I'm sure I told this story, but
probably
I was at this was 2001 or 2002. I'm not sure. People that dressed up as the Twin Towers with the plane going in. Two people both dressed up as a tower and held hands walking down the street. I think flames were coming out of it. And people were, because in in LA, you walk down Santa Monica Boulevard in your costume and people were just, it was like, there was like, you know, it was like cheering and happy. And then they would come and people would just completely walk to the opposite sides of the street, like giving them the birth of just letting them just like, just, and you could see that they knew they made a mistake, but they were like, well, now we have to walk to the end and walk back. Like,
they could have just taken the costumes off and left them on the ground.
They kind of had this like resolve in their faces, like, oh, well, we spent all this time making them.
All right. Well, listen.
I mean, people make mistakes. You know, like you know, they're probably, this is what I thought about them. They're probably like getting high and drinking, and somebody came up with the idea and they were like, that is hilarious. That's so great. And then they made them without like talking to anyone or thinking about it too deeply. And then the minute they got out of their car and put their costumes on, they were like, uh-oh. You know what I mean? Like,
the plane bailed out.
Yeah.
The plane said, I like, can't do this.
Guys, I'm going home. I was with Ian Bagg. We were both like,
All right. Anyhow, look at creepswithkids.com. Get your tickets. The tour starts in October. Creepswithkids.com. Get tickets for the tour, Jersey, Pennsylvania, Chicago, Boston, creepswithkids.com. So long, Bonnie. This week I'll be in Cuyahoga Falls too, at the Funny Farm. Cuyahoga Falls, creepswithkids.com. Cuyahoga Falls, creepswithkids.com.
She really hates him. It's really true. Why did she marry this jackass Jew? Some people say that opposites attract, but this seems more like a suicide pact. He's totally sober, she's not that drunk. He's really old and she's got some spunk. He's totally holy as an asinine bomb, and she's just a little less dumb. She really hates him, it's really true. But somewhere deep down, she loves him too.